Welcome to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. Coming up this hour, we'll hear about a collaborative sculpture project for youth in Rapid City. And we'll talk with rodeo champion and Ree Heights native Billy Etbauer, whose life-size statue was unveiled this weekend during the Match of Champions in Fort Pierre. But first, it's Wednesday and time for our weekly discussion of the latest in state politics with the Dakota Political Junkies. With us today is David Montgomery, political reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader, where he also writes the Political Smokeout blog. David, good to have you back with us again.
Always good to be on.
Also joining the program is Roger Whittle, managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. And Roger, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Well, discussion of the race for South Dakota's U.S. Senate seat, the one that will be open when Tim Johnson retires at the end of his term. Discussion continues, but attention now seems to be shifting more to the Republican side of the race and the intentions of Representative Kristi Noem. David Montgomery, does it seem likely that she'll enter the race and run against former Governor Mike Rounds in the Republican primary?
Likely might be a bit strong, but it's definitely a possibility. She has, for quite some time now, refused to rule out the possibility and has gradually opened up a little bit more about just how seriously she's considering it, has admitted that she's met with some groups about a possible run. And I have to imagine that the fact that Rick Weiland is now the Democratic nominee and not a Stephanie Hirsa-Sandlin or Brendan Johnson might make her more likely to enter the race, rightly or wrongly. I think Noem's camp believes Rick Weiland to be a less formidable candidate, and given that she would want the Republican Party to win this seat, as well as perhaps liking to be senator herself, that might make a primary between her and Mike Rounds less damaging to the party.
Roger Whittle, what are your thoughts on how the Kristi Noem candidacy could fit into the primary and the race for Senate?
Well, I know she is seriously thinking about it, and from what I've seen, it's her race to win if she wants to get in. I know there's a lot of talk about the damage it would do to the Republican Party, but I think the ball is totally in her court at this point, and she has said she will take several months to make a decision, so I think we're just going to have to sit here and wait to see what she does.
Do you think that she has the time to wait, that there's really no hurry, that she has to make a decision and announce it right away, in June, say?
I would like to think there's no hurry. Americans are getting tired of these long campaigns, and I agree with that. So I think she has plenty of time. Nothing's going to change between now and 4 months from now. So,
David Montgomery, do you think state Republican leaders, however, would prefer to avoid a primary battle between Rounds and Noem?
I think absolutely they'd prefer to avoid a primary battle. I think the way they see it, they think they're generally, most of them at least, are pretty content with Mike Rounds as the nominee, and they like Kristi Noem as the House candidate, and would prefer not to see their two top possible names tearing each other apart in a primary. And so I imagine that Kristi Noem is probably getting some discouragement from some party leaders, top officials. But in the end, it's all going to come down to what she wants to do. She's a popular politician in her own right, a tenacious campaigner. And if she decides that this is the next step she wants to take, I think she'll go for it.
Now, David, you've written in the Argus Leader that there are some Republicans on the more conservative side of the party that seem to be unhappy with Mike Rounds and Kristi Noem as well?
Yeah, well, it's no secret that Mike Rounds has some enemies on the right wing of the Republican Party. They've been very vocal about that for quite some time. It's unclear exactly how many of these people there are. But what I found was interesting was that the highest profile possible challenger to Rounds, the people who the experts believe might have the best shot of beating him, which would be Kristi Noem, isn't necessarily much better liked among some of these national groups that are hoping to find a more conservative alternative to Mike Rounds. Some of them, like the Club for Growth, are outright criticizing Kristi as saying that she's not a fiscal conservative in their words. And it's no better than Mike Rounds. Other groups are more cautious, but really, one group, the Senate Conservative Fund, said that it would be a big plus for them if Kristi were to vote against the Farm Bill. and I would be very surprised if that were to happen.
Well, Roger Whittle, looking ahead, that if Kristi Noem does get into the race, do you see any Republicans that will be there and available to fill in for that House seat to run for the position that she now holds?
In South Dakota, I'm sure we will be able to find a Republican somewhere who would be willing to run for that seat. There's just no question about that. We still have Stace Nelson out there who has been kind of quiet lately. But, yeah, Republicans will have no problem finding a good candidate.
But I imagine has there been much discussion about that, though, among Republicans that you're aware of? Or is this something that they're just going to wait until Kristi Noem does make a decision one way or the other?
I have not heard anything about it, but it's only been in the past week or so that Kristi has said she would be thinking about the Senate seat. So I think that we might be hearing more moving forward than we have. But so far, I've heard nothing.
News in the Mike Rounds campaign last week was the announcement that Senator John Thune's 2004 campaign manager, Dick Wadhams, signed on as a general consultant. David, who is Dick Wadhams, and what does his joining the Rounds team suggest regarding what sort of campaign might be ahead?
Dick Wadhams is a relatively high-profile Republican strategist. He's most famous for helping run John Thune's 2004 campaign over his victory over Tom Daschle, and was famous for sort of a no-holds-barred approach. It was the highest-profile Senate campaign in the country, and both sides fought very hard, and Wadhams was behind a lot of that on the Thune side. So the fact that he signed on as a consultant for Mike Rounds perhaps suggests that either Mike Rounds is prepared for the major leagues of the U.S. Senate campaign, or that he's trying to signal to potential rivals, like perhaps Kristi Noem, that he's not going to be a pushover when it comes to a campaign, or perhaps he just wanted to bring in an outside voice to his campaign team, which is largely peer-based and longtime friends and acquaintances of Mike Rounds, bring in an outside perspective who nonetheless knows the state, who could bring in a different perspective and maybe help prevent some groupthink and lead to a stronger campaign effort. So there's a number of possible reasons, but it's certainly an interesting move and a sign that Rounds is taking this very seriously.
Roger Whittle, in watching the way campaigns put together their staff and sign people on, is that interesting to you as far as getting some sort of perspective and what's perhaps going on behind the scenes?
Well, I know Wadhams needs a win. Since he led Thune to victory, I know he was head of George Allen's campaign in Virginia, where he lost to Jim Webb, and which was a surprise to everybody. Allen was supposed to win that one handily. And then I believe he also backed a losing Senate candidate in Michigan's. And in between then, he had some problems as head of the Colorado Republican Party. So I think for Wadhams, this is a chance to get back to a Republican state where he has a good chance to win and get back on a good track here. But yeah, I agree with David. It's to get a big name like that to run your campaign for Rounds is very telling.
Well, on the Democratic side, with Rick Weiland's candidacy and Stephanie Herseth Sandlin saying she won't run, and Brendan Johnson apparently not running either, although I don't believe he's said one way or the other yet. Do things seem like they're settled there, or David Montgomery, you think we'll still yet see another candidate entering the Democratic side of the Senate race?
It's very possible. There are some of the people in the Herseth Sandlin camp on the sort of the moderate wing of the party aren't terribly happy with Rick Weiland, and maybe would prefer to see a more conservative Democrat running. It's unclear now whether they'll actually take the effort of trying to recruit someone, or whether Rick Weiland will manage to roll up support across the party and cruise to a nomination. And, of course, it's a long way until the primary, over a year. And, I mean, the situation now could change drastically if suddenly the U.S. scandals or gaffes or something like that, and suddenly the race looks a lot more winnable for the Democrats. You might see people reconsidering, especially Brendan Johnson, who hasn't publicly ruled it out. I don't get the sense that some people are suggesting that Rick Weiland is just a placeholder candidate, but I mean, he clearly respects Brendan Johnson a great deal, was involved in trying to get him to run for Senate before he himself ran, and it would certainly be an interesting situation if any of that happened. But for now, I think Rick Wyland is trying to do his best to unite the Democratic Party and get to an uncontested nomination.
Politico recently had a story about an alleged feud between current Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid and former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle about the seat on the Democrat side. And Reid and the Democratic senatorial campaign wanted Stephanie Hersis-Sandlin as their candidate to replace Tim Johnson in 2014. And Daschle supports his former aide Rick Wyland. Roger Whittle, does this only fuel more speculation that there could be another person to get in the race, that maybe behind the scenes there's still machinations going on?
Well, personally, I'm still waiting for David Montgomery to throw his hat in the ring. But that report about the feud, I don't think there's anything surprising there, because with Reid involved, this is obviously a very important race to the National Democrats, and Tom Daschle is always going to be loyal to his people. I kind of think people are underestimating Rick Wyland. I think he was Daschle's finance manager. He obviously knows how to raise money, and if Daschle joins him in those endeavors, he'll be able to raise a lot of money for this campaign, and I think he will be a little bit more formidable than people are giving him credit for at this point.
How much influence does Tom Daschle still have in South Dakota? Is he still something of a power broker here?
I would think so. He rose about as high as any politician the state has ever gone. So I think when he talks, people still listen.
David Montgomery, do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's clearly a lot of Democrats in South Dakota respect Tom Daschle. He still has a lot of ties to the state, even though he's not around here as much as he used to. And he also still has plenty of national connections that he can bring to bear support of someone like Rick Wyland, who he's backing. So I mean, certainly nowhere near as influential as he was when he was a U.S. Senator, but he is still a force to be reckoned with, at least inside the Democratic Party.
Well, moving beyond the Senate race, Congress, at least reportedly, seems to be more likely to pass a new five-year farm bill after last year's efforts failed. Roger Whittle, I don't know how closely you've been following this, but what is the, do you know what the current status of the farm bill is?
Well, right now the lawmakers are on vacation, so It's just sitting there. But from what I've heard, that they're having a lot of the same problems they had last year, and that it basically comes down to food stamp or SNAP funding, where the Senate version is not cutting nearly as much from that program as the House version does. I think they're billions of dollars apart on that. So, and that's basically the same thing that delayed the farm bill last year. So I don't see them being anywhere close to solving that particular issue at this point.
So it doesn't seem like the bill has much of a better chance in the House than it did a year ago when, as I recall, it wasn't even brought up for a vote.
Unless we come back from vacation in a very compromising mood, the lawmakers, it seems like nothing has changed from last year.
David Montgomery, any thoughts on the farm bill and what might happen?
I think that the chance of a farm bill passing is actually considerably better than last year, although far from a sure thing. My sense is that the House is where the obstacle is, and I think that the Republicans are going to tilt even further to the right on the bill than they did last year, making steeper cuts to food stamps, in the hopes of getting more Republicans on board, getting it through the House, which would then let the farm bill go to a conference committee between the House and Senate and come up with a compromised version. There's a number of hurdles to go through there, but at least in talking to Kristi Noem, she seems more optimistic than she did a year or two ago about the farm bill and the willingness of leadership to support it and bring it to a vote. I believe it's already scheduled for a floor vote, which I don't think ever happened last year.
In other news, Governor Dennis Dugard will call a special session of the state legislature in late June to deal with the $10 million cost overrun in the construction of a new state veterans home in Hot Springs. Roger, was this special session a surprise?
Not when the bids came $10 million mm-hmm. over the cost, but they say it's not a problem, that there's plenty of money available. From what I've read, that they're anticipating $7 to $10 million more in revenues, the state is, and $7 to $10 million less in expenses, which means there's upwards of $20 million sitting around doing nothing, which would make funding the veterans home no problem. But it raises other questions that I'm sure the Democrats will say, well, if we had $20 million extra, why did we underfund the schools this year and things like that? So I'm sure the issue of the Hot Springs home will be built. There will be plenty of money to build it, but I think that there might be other repercussions from this whole thing.
Well, David Montgomery, did the governor have any other options than calling a special session and dealing with the cost overrun?
My understanding is that they looked at a number of different ways to go about this because, I mean, calling a special session costs, I think, about around $30,000 for the state in terms of travel expenses and all that. And ultimately decided that this was the only way to go about it, other than delaying things a year, which would have its own costs. So I think that they really tried to avoid this, but ultimately couldn't find a way to do so.
During the session, will this just be the only thing that the legislators will deal with, or will other issues be brought up, do you think, David?
What people are telling me now is that this is probably going to be the only issue that's going to come up. Leaders on both sides said that they think this is just going to be a one-issue thing. Lawmakers come in, handle it, get done in a few hours, and head back home in the same day, probably.
Well, before I let you go, I just wanted to get your comments on some of the recent news regarding the Obama administration coming under fire for the seizure of Associated Press phone records and the leak investigation of Fox News reporter James Rosen. Roger Whittle, what concerns you most about these reports of press investigations by the government?
Well, being in the press, of course, freedom of the press should not be tampered with by our government. And it also shows a little bit of laziness on our government investigators, I think, that they will let the reporters do their job and then just try to take the reporters' work from them. There's got to be a better way to go about your government's business and this. But, it was not a good day for journalism.
David Montgomery?
Oh, it's certainly concerning to see all this, and it'll be, I guess, I'm just sort of waiting to see as all the facts come out and all the responses. So it's certainly not a good time for the Obama administration, and some worrying questions about the news industry.
All right. Well, David, thanks so much for joining us on Dakota Midday again, and we'll talk with you in a few weeks in the future.
All right, thank you.
And Roger, thanks for your time as well, and look forward to talking with you again soon.
Thank you.
David Montgomery is a political reporter with the Sioux Falls Argus Leader. He also writes the Political Smokeout blog, and Roger Whittle is the managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion. The Dakota Political Junkies are a regular feature of Dakota Midday, a regular Wednesday feature of the program. I'm Carl Gerke, and you're listening to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Coming up after a short break, we'll hear about a sculpture project youth are helping build in Rapid City and L.A. When it's finished, kids can play on it. And then later this hour, we'll talk with rodeo champion and Ree Heights native Billy Etbauer, whose life-size statue is being unveiled this weekend during the Match of Champions in Fort Pierre.